4:30 a.m. on a dark and balmy Houston night. My name is Scooter, and you're listening to The Radio. Now, in this late time slot, I usually play stuff you're not allowed to broadcast in the daytime or evenings because of language and so forth. And there's a lot of good stuff out there like that. But this morning, I'm going to do a family show. I have one of those at home. If you're a longtime listener to KPFT, you've probably heard my daughter, Caitlin, whom I've been accused of warping with those twisted radio theater pieces we used to do.
Let me see that thing, Daddy.
Here you go. Just six left. Hey, you better be careful. He's still breathing.
Not anymore.
If any of you are following up on that, she just finished fifth grade, honor student, straight A's, wall to wall. So there you go. My son Raymond, on the other hand, well, I named him after Ray Hill, and that was prophetic because he is always in trouble. Just squeaked through the first grade. Not because he's dumb, he's quite bright, but, you know, if you want him to do something, just tell him not to. And that doesn't always work out real well for him at school. One of his teachers told us, this kid is out of hand. You might want to consider putting him on medication. You can imagine my reaction. I figure, yeah, let's go for it. I'll just give him a Skittle every 8 hours and eat all the Ritalin myself. They're not very strong, but they're very small, and you can eat a lot of them before you fill up. And then maybe I'll be awake enough to do this radio show. I'll be like,
hey, it's Fidelity Fowler coming at you on number 902 WA3DFM, the Stern. Coming up next, we got the hot new tracks from Jibble Hoo, baby.
Hey, hey, it's Extra Strength Scooter right here on the Mighty 90.
Woohoo!
The Big A.
Speaking of mind control, check this out.
You have been well trained, my young apprentice. They will be no match for you.
Yeah, this is Sonny Crack Show. I want to give it up to my man from Ohio talking about the draft. Is it a rumor?
I thank the gentleman. I rise in opposition of this bill, but I would like to clarify something. We're not trying to scare kids. This president's foreign policy is what's scaring the kids of this country. And then people have said today, well, why are people believing this? Why are people believing this big internet hoax? Well, it's the same people that told us Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11. Same people that told us Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Same people that told us we are going to be able to use the oil for reconstruction money. Same people that told us that we'd be greeted as liberators, not occupiers. Same people, same president that told us the Taliban is gone. Same president that told us that Poland is our ally 2 days before they pull out. Same president that tells us Iraq is going just great. Same president that tells us the economy is going just great. Same people that told us the tax cut was going to create millions of jobs. Same people that told us that the Medicare program only cost $400 billion when it really cost $540 billion. So please forgive us for not believing what you're saying. Please forgive the students of this country for not believing what you're saying. Not one thing about this war that has been told to the American people, or that has been told to these college students, has been true. Not one thing. Bremer says we need more troops. The Pentagon says we need more troops. And this president can't get them from the international community. There's only one option left. Let's be honest with the American people. I yield back the balance of my time.
The abolition of free will by methodical conditioning, the servitude made acceptable by regular doses of chemically induced happiness, the orthodoxies drummed in by nightly courses in sleep teaching, advertising, soma, Prozac, music television. Everyone belongs to everyone else.
The whole history of recent times in relation to science and technology shows that if you plant the seed of applied science or technology, it proceeds to grow, and it grows according to the laws of its own being. And the laws of its being are not necessarily the same as the laws of our being.
So I know that, you know, I have a really mixed audience. I'd say most of my audience really doesn't know, never has read Brave New World or 1984 by George Orwell. But I would suggest that you go check both those out. There's a movie in 1984, so you can go to Blockbuster and get that, but it doesn't really touch on or get to the real truth. Well, no, I wouldn't say the real truth. I would just say it doesn't get into it as much as they could. The difference between the two are, well, both of them have one thing in common, basically that you are going to be a slave. You are going to serve the New World Order. You and your family, they're going to break up the family. They're both going to force you to do things that you wouldn't want to do, including lying. The only job that you'll have is government provided. I mean, both are a hellish nightmare, but I think the difference is the mechanics of what exactly is going to transpire. I lean more towards the Brave New World theory of things, because that deals with mainly with technology and forced medication, meaning like Prozac and Ritalin and all the different psychotropic drugs that they have. Basically, what they can do is get you on these drugs to make you feel like everything's fine. Basically, you're just, you know, intoxicated. Everything isn't fine, because your government knows that a lot of people out there got that feeling that just something ain't right. That's probably why you're listening to my show. Something ain't right. So while a lot of us will go to alternative medicine like smoking reefer, like me, just to even deal with it, or drinking a half a gallon of rum a week just to deal with it and self-medicate, well, to the people that don't want to smoke weed or don't drink alcohol because they've been conditioned to believe that both of those drugs are terrible for you and can kill you, and one of them's illegal, you'll go to the doctor and say, you know, doctor, I feel really bad. I don't know. I'm depressed. I don't know what's going on. And they say, well, here's the magic pill for you. Then you start getting on it, and I, you know, case study after case study, things get progressively worse. But basically, that's what Aldous was talking about as far as the technology behind the total control that's practically here now and is coming to you soon. Starts with TV. Naturally, TV is the biggest propaganda thing. I mean, it's the worst possible thing for you would be television. And I would even go so far as to say even movies, probably music, just about any kind of mass media is at least today, is certainly detrimental to your mental well-being if you have any sort of a chance in getting out of this cycle of depression and total control of your lives. So I'm gonna play some more clips from Aldous. Also, it's interesting to know that Aldous, he lived from 1894. He died November 22nd, 1963, the same day that Kennedy was assassinated. It's just, I mean, it's funny how things work out sometimes, but the man was brilliant. I would suggest reading all of his material. Not only was he a great author, he had a lot of time to think. So, you know, I'm going to play some clips, play some new music. We got the new Public Enemy album. I wasn't really totally thrilled with it. The beats, Paris produced all of it. Paris is, I love him as a rapper, but his production is very dated. But he does have a song that I like a lot that has him and it's got your boy, you know, the, what's his name? Whatever. The other dude, Immortal Technique, that cat. He's on the song too, and it's got some clips. I'll play that tonight. But anyways, we'll get into the some clips from Aldous himself, letting you know exactly what he's seen for the future of us and what he's seen, you know, going on right around him, even in the late 50s, early 60s. So let me get into some of this.
What I may call the messages of Brave New World, that it is possible to make people contented with their servitude. I think this can be done. I think it has been done in the past, but then I think it could be done even more effectively now, because you can provide them with bread and circuses, and you can provide them with endless amounts of distractions and propaganda.
I first read Huxley's Brave New World when I was 9 years old. The year was 1967.
Was the novel science fiction or a portrait of the world that I was going to eventually have to find my way in? The horrific vision of voluntary acquiescence to the solidarity of a world civilization bent on the twin directives of thoughtless pleasures and ordered efficiency. A thoroughly narcissistic society without an aspiration towards beauty or grace, and without the troubles of the contemplation of a soul.
Yes, and unfortunately, of course, I put all the events in Brave New World in the 7th century after Ford, and a great deal of it has come true within 27 years, whatever the period is since I wrote it. I'm often very alarmed at what has already happened in the way of the prophecies being fulfilled. And I do think that we seem to be moving in that direction, that there seem to be a number of impersonal forces pushing that way and a number of technological discoveries which can be used to accelerate the movement in that direction.
Take it back to the days where we raised us up. Four coward ass rap made the game corrupt. P-Dog in a cut back to bring the pain. Putting wood on they ass, can't stand the rain. And bring heat over beats and scratch the itch. In a no-spin zone, fuck a scandalous bitch. It's the return of the bush killer back to bust. Just us for the justice and God we trust. I rush truth to the youth and shine the light. Take the red pill, open up your eyes to light. In this land of these crack fiends, sheep and mold. See us overthrow the hold of this devil control and roll deep. Keep it underground for the streets. I'm the last. Sales. Hit him out of bounds, retreat like ants in this war dance. If one fall, 10 more's in his place
well,
to advance.
Well, reap my soul. We see them on pyramid from outer jump home. But we don't got even till we boom down sat on. And they get to you, them if you don't have this gun. And the madman, them stop me out the gun. And the grandman, them I put down them gun. How we can the right revolution to all religious and religion to trample that tongue. Side to the blind and peace to the dumb.
This program includes dramatic reenactments of scenes which depict real events and contains material which is intended for hip-hop.
Welcome to the show!
Today, more drugs are coming into America than ever before.
We have the best intelligence of the world. We can stop anything we want to stop.
You still may know little about
CIA's involvement with drug lords.
This was a multi-billion dollar business.
Even more menacing,
the CIA
gone into the drug trade. They're trying to take over the government.
In the war
on drugs,
which side is the CIA on?
Rebel militia, rapping up brandish. Don't need to canvas to paint a picture. Fuck who you ask and I'll tell you what it is. It ain't music, motherfucker, it's the way to be live. Way to party fashion, leaving the door with a brook lock. I make a toast to the cancer and Rupert Murdoch. I got a hit on the Grand Wizard and the Cyclops. And I'll be sniping campus security, white cops. Fuck around and I'ma start blasting their cans. They back for what they did to John Africa's crib. Niggas talk a lot of shit, waving the banner. Put it down and go to fuck home, wrapped in the flag. I have nothing but empty shells for enemies. Strike me down, that'll give birth to ten. Enemy forbidden chemistry. My first is a dirty bomb. Perfect combat. Next year, nigga, it's on. It's on.
Yeah, that was off that new Paris and Immortal Technique That song's kind of tight. I like the lyrics and how they chopped everything up, especially on, you know, when they're chopping up the parts about CIA bringing drugs in. I'm gonna go into a clip because I hope you were paying attention to when Aldis was speaking, and he was saying that, you know, technology is gonna allow the massive brainwashing to occur. I mean, the technology was good even in the 60s. Before most of us were even born, they had great mind control technology. And it went through a lot of it had to do with the media, but moving pictures are just amazing. You know, when you, the audio visual thing, when you're watching TV, if you've seen what it did to a brain, it's just amazing. Everything that you see and hear on the television screen absorbs right into your brain. You don't even know it. I don't know what, I'm gonna play some more Huxley type stuff and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Wake up, man.
Do you hold any fears that some future dictator, to use the term, might use such things as mass communication, the newly discovered drugs, subliminal suggestion, what's called brainwashing, all of these new motivational research, all these new techniques for gaining consent?
I'm quite sure they can do it. After all, it's, to a considerable extent, it's been done. I mean, the brainwashing is already a effect, and the point is that technology is continuously advancing. I was talking, for example, yesterday with the man who did the much of the basic research work in this subliminal projection. He said at the moment it presents no great threat, but he said technology is on the march, and we shall undoubtedly have within a few years extremely effective methods for using this and for persuading people to do things without their knowledge.
You've been currently working, as I understand, on some articles on the new threats to liberty that grow out of these attempts to control society.
What I'm trying to persuade people is that they should think in advance of what's going to happen. I mean, the trouble, one sees this again and again, that people have allowed themselves to be taken by surprise by the advances in technology. There's really no reason why we should be. I mean, given the available evidence and given a certain amount of imagination, you can foresee some of the consequences of this, and if you foresee, you can do something to mitigate the effects.
Well, that's just great, because basically nobody was paying attention 45 years ago. Nobody tried to mitigate anything. I want to thank all of our parents out there, that great baby boom me generation that just ushered in this. Didn't care about nothing. Just let it all go to crap. It's great. And then our generation. All we try to do is look up to them and follow their plan. They did a great job with us. We're not Generation X. We're the daycare generation. The mind control starts as soon as you're a kid. People don't spend time with their families. They don't spend time. The parents don't care. Ah, man. It's a sad story. It's just sad. Aldis said that. He said very specifically that about 20% of the people on the earth you can absolutely control with no problems. Then there's about 20% that you can't control no matter what you do. You could have the best brainwashing tools available. I would say it's less than 20, but about 20%. Then you have the mass majority, about 60%, that can be controlled with not much more effort than the bottom 20%. So in any given population, you have 80% of people that are completely, their minds are in control. They're not causing any problems. You could tell them anything and they'll believe it. Anything. How else can you explain why Bush is still in office? Oh, man, y'all kill me. Okay, I'm going to go back to Aldis. This is from a speech that he gave in 1961. It's amazing. Keep in mind, this is 45 years ago, over 40 years ago. Just imagine all the crazy stuff they came up for us in them last 40 years. He's talking about what's going on right now.
Well, now, in regard to this problem of the ultimate revolution, this has been very well summed up by the moderator. In the past, we can say that all revolutions have essentially aimed at changing the environment in order to change the individual. I mean, there's been the political revolution, the economic revolution. In the time of the Reformation, the religious revolution, all these aimed, as I say, not directly at the human being, but at his surroundings, so that by modifying the surroundings, you did achieve, at one remove, an effect upon the human being. Today, we are faced, I think, with the approach of what may be called the ultimate revolution, the final revolution, where a man can act directly on the mind-body of his fellows. Well, needless to say, some kind of direct action on human mind-bodies has been going on since the beginning of time. But this has generally been of a violent nature. The techniques of terrorism have been known from time immemorial, and people have employed them with more or less ingenuity, sometimes with the utmost crudity, sometimes with a good deal of skill acquired by a process of trial and error, finding out what the best ways of using torture, imprisonment, constraints of various kinds. But as I think it was Metternich said many years ago, you can do everything with bayonets except sit on them. That if you are going to control any population for any length of time, you must have some measure of consent. It's exceedingly difficult to see how pure terrorism can function indefinitely. It can function for a fairly long time, but I think sooner or later you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. Well, it seems to me that the nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now faced is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy, who have always existed and presumably always will exist, to get people actually to love their servitude. This is seems to me the ultimate in malevolent revolution, shall we say? And this is a problem which has interested me for many years, and about which I wrote 30 years ago a fable, The Brave New World, which is essentially the account of a society making use of all the devices at that time available, and some of the devices which I imagined to be possible, making use of them in order to, first of all, to standardize the population, to iron out inconvenient human differences, to create, so to say, mass-produced models of human beings arranged in some kind of a scientific caste system. And since then, I have continued to be extremely interested in this problem, and I have noticed with increasing dismay that a number of the predictions which were purely fantastic when I made them 30 years ago have come true, or seem in process of coming true, that a number of techniques about which I talked seem to be here already, and that there seems to be a general movement in the direction of this kind of ultimate revolution, this method of control by which people can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy. The enjoyment of servitude. Well,
you're blind, baby. You're blind from the facts on who you are because you're watching that garbage.
For the same thing, it's a new thing. Check out this, I bring all the rubber lower level because I'm
my own feeling is that the 1984 picture was tinged, of course, by the immediate the past and the present in which Orwell was living, but that the past and present of those years does not represent, I feel, the likely trend of what is going to happen. Needless to say, we shall never get rid of terrorism. This will always find its way to the surface. But I think that insofar as dictators become more and more scientific, more and more concerned with a technically perfectly running society, they will be more and more interested in the kind of techniques which I imagined and described from existing realities in Brave New World. So that it seems to me then that this ultimate revolution is really not very far away, that we already a number of the techniques for bringing about this kind of control are here, and it remains to be seen when and where and by whom they will first be applied in any large scale. And first, let me talk about a little bit about the improvement even in the techniques of terrorism. I think there have been improvements. That Pavlov, after all, made some extremely profound observations both on animals and on human beings. And he found, among other things, that conditioning techniques applied to animals or humans in a state either of psychological or physical stress sank in, so to say, very deeply into the mind-body of the creature and were extremely difficult to get rid of, that they seem to be embedded more deeply than other forms of conditioning. And this, of course, this fact, I think, was discovered empirically in the past. People did make use of many of these techniques, but the difference between the old empirical intuitive methods and our own methods is the difference between a sort of hit and miss craftsman's point of view and the genuinely scientific point of view. I mean, I think there is a real difference between ourselves and, say, the inquisitors of the 16th century. We know much more precisely what we are doing than they knew, and we can extend, because of our theoretical knowledge, we can extend what we are doing over a wider area with a greater assurance of being producing something which really works.
You've been listening to excerpts from The Sonny Crack Show. If you'd like to hear the entire show, Google Revere Radio Network and hit the link to forums and look for Sonny Crack, and just poke around, you'll find it. Gotta go, we're out of time. My name is not really Scooter, but this really is KPFT Houston.
How intuitively some of the great religious teachers, leaders of the past hit on the Pavlovian method. He speaks specifically of Wesley's method of producing conversions, which were essentially based upon a technique of heightening psychological stress to the limit by talking about hellfire, and so making people extremely vulnerable to suggestion, and then suddenly releasing this stress by offering hopes of heaven. And this is a very interesting chapter of showing how completely, on purely intuitive and empirical grounds, a skilled natural psychologist, as Wesley was, could discover these Pavlovian methods. Well, as I say, we now know the reason why these techniques worked, and there is no doubt at all that we can, if we want to.